Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
There it is.
Guess what?
There it is.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, we know what he is, but is he this? That is the question. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. So we know Framber Valdez is a dog.
He's a dog.
He's an absolute dog. He's a bulldog. He goes out there, barks, and he's been solid. In 18 and a third innings, he has a 1.47 ERA, 22 strikeouts, 4 walks, and he's looking good. We thought he might be out for the season, but he's out there and he's looking like a dog. I think we can both agree Framber is a dog, correct?
Framber is a dog.
Figgy, would you say he's a dog?
He's a dog.
But is he an ace? That is the question. 713-572-4610. It's been a popular note when we talk about the Houston Astros, no matter how optimistic we are, no matter how down we get on the Astros, the constant talking point since Justin Verlander really had Tommy John last year has been, this is a good team, but. Mm-hmm. And there's always the same but. But they don't have that top-end ace. They don't have that. They don't have that Justin Verlander. They don't have that Gerrit Cole, who, by the way, we'll get to a little bit later on in this show. But when you watch Framber Valdez, you watch what he's got going right now. You watch the way he's pitching. You watch what he did last year in the postseason. And I got to ask it, and I know it's early. I know we're talking about 18 innings of work this year. But with the Houston Astros looking as good as they possibly could, taking 4 of 5 from the Boston Red Sox, ending their win streak yesterday, and Framber Valdez going out there and allowing 1 run in 7 1/3 and having an unhittable curveball with an added array to his repertoire. He's now got the changeup as well. We know he's a dog, but do the Astros, John Lopez, is it time to at least entertain the thought, or is it time to just go all in on it that the Astros have an ace?
He was amazing. I'm not quite ready to call him an ace. He had ace stuff, that's for darn sure. Into the eighth inning, 1 run, no walks, only 5 hits, 8 strikeouts. That's what an ace does, right? I mean, there's no question about it. I'm still high on Greinke because of the way that he's come in.
Hey.
You know?
And Greinke, the way that he's been pitching lately.
He's an ace.
He looks like an ace, and we know he's a future Hall of Famer. It's just father time is father time. And let's be honest, Zach Greinke, sometimes he looks like an ace, and then other times.
But lately he's been more consistent.
He's been awesome when they need him most. And that seems to be what Zach Greinke does. Whenever it looks like the Astros are dead and all hope is lost, Zach Greinke can carry the rotation. Last year after Justin Verlander got Tommy John, Zach Greinke had an awful start, and then all of a sudden he carried the rotation.
Yeah.
Then he kind of drifted off. This year, after those back-to-back losses to the Padres where the bullpen was spent, Greinke, the last 2 starts, he's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But this Valdez guy.
Oh, no. There's no, like I said, he's
this,
got,
this Valdez guy, this character right here, this Valdez dude.
If I were scouting, and I'm not a scout because I just care too much, but if I were scouting.
Too much attention to detail.
Exactly. If I were scouting the Astros as an opponent, you know, traveling scout is what they call them. They go to the future opponents and they scout the lineup and the pitchers and stuff. My report would say that Framber Valdez has number one stuff. I don't necessarily call him a number one pitcher, though.
Well, he's not that yet.
Yeah, but he has number one stuff. He has ace stuff.
But let's just put it this way.
Right.
If we're just judging what we've seen from the postseason last year to now,
yeah,
that's a bad son of a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a bad son of a gun.
They get those early runs. I'm like, it's over, man. It's done.
And he's out there. He's out there just straight up bulldogging. Here's Carlos Correa, the Sparkle Prince. Ooh. By the way, he's altered his swing. here's the Sparkle Prince talking about how nasty the dog, maybe Ace, is.
The sinker starts where the curveball starts, and then one goes down, and the other one stays in the zone just a little bit. So, you know, the guy has it. He has the two nasty pitches, three now with the changeup. So, you know, you got to pick your poison. You either look for fast or look for curveball, but if you're in between, it's going to be really hard.
It is. It looks hard. He makes it look hard for other guys. Here's Carlos Correa, the Sparkle Prince, talking about more about the ace.
It's amazing to see him, you know, go out there and throw strikes, control the strike zone, sinker, the changeup, the curveball. He was throwing for strikes. He was throwing for chase when he wanted chases. It's impressive to watch him work right now.
All right. So it's impressive, it's nasty, but there is something that makes you even more optimistic about Framber Valdez. And let's be honest, we feel good about Framber Valdez, but Dusty Baker, what he said yesterday, Dusty Baker actually makes me feel even better about Framber.
He has a moving fastball, he has a good outstanding changeup. He also has a wicked breaking ball. I mean, this guy's young. He's still learning how to pitch. He's strong as anybody that we have on the team. You know, like he's only going to get better.
He is. And again, I'll just say this. He can get to ace from here. How about that? That's a happy median right there. Because he has that number one stuff. I want to see a little more. I think we all do. I would expect him to continue to pitch that way. But I think Greinke's the ace because Greinke can do what an ace does, and that is, and not to get off on tangent, but just to compare and contrast here, he changes
the bell ready.
He's changed his approach as he's gotten older. He's changed his style. He's changed where he places balls and how he approaches different batters. That's what an ace does. You know, a lot of guys come into the league with wicked stuff. It's how you can approach over the course of a season, how you can change your approach over the course of the season, and then from year to year. And so, yeah, he can get there from here, Framber, no doubt.
Let's hear from the man himself, Framber Valdez, yesterday. Another solid outing, 7 1/3 innings. Here is Framber Valdez talking about how he's feeling right now, finding his groove and trying to become that ace for the Houston Astros. Hey, if he's got that kind of confidence, who
he's
knows?
Definitely
the sky's
a dog.
The limit.
He's definitely a dog.
Sky is the limit. That's Framber Valdez. We know that he's a dog, but is he an ace? Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Be listening, 11:45, 12:45. Chance to win a GER, also known as $1,000, also known as a fourth stimulus check. for those of you out there, 11:45, 12:45. Going to be doing this for a while. We'll give you the key word, 11:45, 12:45, and you're going to get a chance, courtesy of Odyssey, to win you some money, powered by BetQL. So, a GER at 11:45, a GER at 12:45. Speaking of a GER, I think Jeff Luhnow acquired Framber Valdez for 15 GER. It was 15 or 20 GER. So, when we talk about, like, under-the-radar moves, and we talk about, you know, GMs doing nice things, Jeff Luhnow, If Jeff Luhnow were still here, all you got to do is win that contest at 11:45 and 12:45 15 times. You could get another dog.
Wouldn't that
ace,
be sweet?
For the Astros.
How about just once? $1,000, man.
Well, that ain't nothing for you. But come on now. Yeah, for common folk like myself, Biggie, that's a nice. It's a nice little chunk of pie, but John Lopez, that's a
Lopez got that bread.
That's a pulled up couch cushion for John Lopez.
He got that on right now.
No, I don't think so.
Speaking of bread, there was something interesting that happened yesterday when I was listening on the Odyssey app with yourself, Wade Smith, and John McClain.
Yes.
And it had to do with spending bread. Texans fans since 2002 have been willing to spend it. No matter what's happened, no matter how frustrating things got, no matter how quarterback starved this franchise appeared to be, no matter how much of a mediocre treadmill this organization appeared to be walking on,
yeah,
people were willing to spend that bread to go out to the yard and watch the Texans play. Sellout streak intact heading into the season, but John McClain nonchalantly yesterday, when asked by you about whether or not he could see this sellout streak ending in 2021, this is what John McClain had to say when he joined the show courtesy of Horn Solutions.
Oh, I believe absolutely. I've talked to so many of my friends. I got together with a group of 10 of them last month, and of those 10, 6 had canceled their season tickets, 3 renewed, and 1 had rolled his over from the year before. And if I were the Texans and I'm having this kind of problem for selling tickets, I would be rolling out the red carpet. I'd be calling 610 Armin Williams. Armin, who would you like to have on this show? Who would you like to have on that show? I'd be trying to generate as much positive publicity as I could. I can see it.
This was like one of those where you shake your head, you know, like in the cartoons. What did he just say? I can't believe he just said that. John McClain has been adamant about they're not worried. They always will sell out. Fans, you know, don't care. They're always going to come back. He's been adamant about that. I mean, to the point of kind of laughing about the mere suggestion of, hey man, do you think that, you know, fans are going to be out on this team? Do you think the Texans, you know, are worried, you know, about alienating fans? And he just kind of laughs about it. All of a sudden yesterday he's like, oh yeah, absolutely, they're not going to have a sellout this year, or more than one no sellout.
I mean, I saw Solomon's column in the Chronicle where I think he went from like
12,800 and something to, hey, do you want some season tickets? We were getting texts, Landry, and if you weren't listening yesterday, guys and women talking about, I was number 19,000 and whatever. I was number 7,000 and whatever. I think we got up to like, I was number 21,000 and whatever on the season ticket waiting list. And all of a sudden I got offered, and some said, I took them and I'll just see because I've always wanted tickets. But the vast majority was like, I just said, no, thank you. And then we were getting messages that the Texans now have these 3-game packages, you know, which they've never had before. Hey, okay, if you don't want season tickets, will you buy these 3 games? It's resonating. I don't know if it's resonating with the right people over there, but it is resonating with whoever's trying to sell tickets, that people are Jack Easterby, let's be honest, and Deshaun Watson, you know, either being alienated or pushed out or asking out or whatever. It's resonating that at the bottom line now.
1040, speaking of Jack Easterby, he dipped his toe in the water to see his approval rating. Not sure how well that went. You'll hear the reactions at 1040. 713-572-4610. Fromber is a dog. Is he an ace? Ernesto, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think he's working towards an ace, but, man, something's not right.
Ah.
Fromber was supposed to be out the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back. I think he looks better than he did in the playoffs. The only thing I can think of, call me crazy, I think that dude got a bionic finger, man. I think that's what happened.
Bionic.
It makes no sense. Should have been out the whole year.
The $6 million
bionic
ace.
Bionic finger.
Yeah, the $6 million ace.
Okay.
Or maybe he went full Garrett Cole.
Well. I feel like some Astros fans might be enjoying that a little too much.
You know what?
I'm not really sure that Garrett Cole getting exposed for using sticky stuff is really something that Astros fans should be gloating about.
Yeah.
We'll get into that at 11:20. We got a lot.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To get into, but coming up, Whitney Merciless and Roger Dorn. We love the movie Major League, and I think Whitney Merciless and Roger Dorn,
look at this guy,
could be two peas in a pod. I will explain next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Business decisions. We all make them. I know when athletes step on the field, a lot of times you got the armchair quarterbacks, you got the Monday morning quarterbacks who believe you should always give it 100% no matter what. 100%. Sell out. Do what's in the best interest of the team. Put your body on the line. Come on. You're representing the city. You make millions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We've heard it all. It's not how the world works in many areas of life. And I think a lot of people can relate to it. I know there are a lot of people who are going 100% every time they go to work. But there are guys who, once they get to a certain point, they decide to coast. And when you're putting your body on the line, a lot of times you got to look
out guys here
for your body. Because you know that there is a life after your job. I look at Whitney Merciless of the Houston Texans, and I ask myself the following question, and I try to ask this not from my soapbox, but from a relatable point of view in understanding where Whitney Merciless is at this point in his career. Let's just go through the career of Whitney Merciless. Whitney Merciless got to the Houston Texans when they were trying to take that next step. He was part of some of the best defenses in the NFL, and eventually he got to a point where he was probably one of the most underpaid guys in the league, because the Texans approached Whitney Merciless and they got him at a bargain contract. Mm-hmm. And the Texans were up 24-0 on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Texans were, many people believe, a step away from reaching the ultimate goal that every football player wants to reach. And Whitney Merciless, out of nowhere, got a second contract or a third contract overall that is probably one of the worst contracts mm-hmm. in the NFL. And during that time, things changed with the organization. Jack and Bill, a package deal. They completely depleted the talent of the roster. The quarterback wanted out. The top end of the roster was stripped. And now here we are, Whitney Merciless, who is guaranteed to make eight figures this year, no matter what happens. Whitney Merciless is now part of a rebuild. And I ask you this, and I want you to relate to this, John Lopez. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking to be Mr. Hardo, and I'm not asking to be on a soapbox. If you're Whitney Merciless, and you're getting paid no matter what, and you're playing with a bunch of guys that are on one-year deals, and you're playing on a team that is going to be the worst team that you've ever been a part of, and a coach that, let's be honest, in any other situation, this guy wouldn't have been a head coach in the NFL, and the star quarterback who gave you the hope that you were going to get that Super Bowl ring is right. no longer going to play here. What the hell do you really have to play for if you're Whitney Merciless? And why would Whitney Merciless pull up to NRG and give max effort and not look out for himself rather than the team?
Well, let's relate it to the real world, which I always like to do. New boss comes in at your job. You're a little anxious, right? You're a little bit, kind of unsure. You know, what is he going to think of me? Am I part of the future? Am I part of their plans? Am I still going to be able to do what I have always done? Is it going to affect my day-to-day operation? All right, we all can relate to that. Everybody's got a new boss at some point in their career. Whitney Merciless is going to be asked to do something different. He's going to have his hand in the dirt as a 4-3 end. He is unsure about the future because this team is in transition, and he's 30 years old. You know, he'll be 31 years old this season after getting paid on his second contract. It's going to be his third contract, as you said, overall, not counting the rookie deal. I think he's going to try to impress early, because he's a professional, and I think most of us can relate to that too. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna bust my ass. I'm gonna try to prove my worth here on this team. My question is, what happens when they go 1-5? You know what? Once they go 1-5, is he going to, you know, make those business decisions that we talk about all the time? And I think the answer probably would be, you know what? I can see retirement from here. Maybe somebody will pay me next year and I can cash another check. Like these guys that are coming into Houston, you know, they're just cashing another check, a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They're just saying, hey, Houston wants me to play? Sure, I'll make another $6 million or whatever the number is. But I'm not going to kill myself doing it. I think everybody on this team, once they start that way, if they see retirement on the way, we'll start thinking about business decisions.
Well, the other thing is this. I mean, if Whitney wants to play again, chances are he's going to want to play on a contender for a good team and likely in a system that fits
right.
him best.
Right.
This was Bobby King the other day, the linebackers coach, talking about Whitney Mercilus and what Whitney Mercilus, on the worst team that he's ever played on with the lowest expectations that he's ever had as a professional, here's what Whitney Mercilus is going to be expected to do, according to Bobby King.
Well, with Whit, the funny thing is when we talked, you know, about the hand in the dirt, that's the only thing that's different about what's going to be, you know, his role this year. And he said, Coach, I haven't put my hand in the dirt consistently since my junior year at Illinois. And I said, well, that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago. And you look at it, a lot of times compensation will lead to effort. Whitney Mercilus is already compensated. He's mm-hmm. getting paid no matter what. So what motivates you at this point in your career? Why do you think J.J. Watt wanted to leave the Houston Texans? Because he wanted to get that Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. So when you're on this team that is expected to be the worst team in the NFL, and even if you're the ultimate Texans optimist, you know that he's not going to get that ring. What exactly does Whitney Mercilus have to play for? If I were Whitney Mercilus, I'm looking out for myself when I go out there to NRG. That's just me. And I'll bring it back to one of my favorite sports movie characters of all time. Maybe not this extreme. I don't expect Whitney Mercilus to carry the golf clubs and have the sweater tied around the neck when he pulls up to NRG. But I think about Roger Dorn of Major League. And while it was, you know, very, very fabricated, and it was kind of cringeworthy the way Roger Dorn approached things, mm-hmm. In a sport like football, with the situation that Whitney Mercilus is in, would anybody that even tries to be relatable to Whitney Mercilus' situation, would anybody blame Whitney Mercilus if he acted like this?
I had to talk to you about something, and I didn't want to do it in front of the rest of the team.
Yeah, sure. What is it? Yeah, have a seat. You want a beer?
Oh, no, thank you.
You have financial problems? I could put you onto a great investment guy.
No, I don't have much of a portfolio right now. But, you know, what I was concerned about was why you didn't come up with that grounder that Riker hit in the ninth.
It was out of my reach. What do you want me to do, die for it?
Raj, could have meant the game.
Oh, come on. Cut the rah-rah, Taylor. Year after this, I go free agent. Plus, my agent and I got a couple of plans for life after baseball. So I am not about to risk major injury or to face this property for a collection of stiffs.
Okay, well, Whitney will be a free agent after this year. There is an easy out. Many would call this Texans roster stiffs. His portfolio is lined up nicely when it comes to finances. So I ask you, why would Whitney Mercilus be any different than Roger Dorn, especially knowing that this sport is much more dangerous and knowing that this organization has done a complete 180 in a short time since he's been here?
I'll say again, and I'm not trying to pander here, I think he will be different to start the year. I think they all will. They're pros, man. I mean, I understand, you know, life can get in the way and you want to be, you know, protect yourself. I think to start the year, even the guys that are here just because somebody offered to pay them a couple more $1 million are gonna try to prove their worth, try to get on the field, maybe make some bonuses, which is another option out there. But the reality is if they do what we think they're going to do and they start losing, Whitney is going to do what a lot of these guys are going to do. He's made, unless he gets cut this year, which, by the way,
could happen.
You know, it's not off the table.
And it might make sense.
Yeah.
Because of what we're saying, it might make sense. That's the other thing about it is maybe you just take the L with Whitney Mercilus because you will have guys like Jonathan Grenard, guys like Jacob Martin, guys like Ross Blacklock, guys like Brandon Dunn, guys like Charles Omenihu, guys like Shaq Lawson, who, unlike Whitney Mercilus, they need to win over this organization. Whitney doesn't need to do a damn thing for the Houston Texans at this point.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that he needs to do. Some of these guys do. So if you are trying to establish a culture and you're trying to establish a, you know, let's try to sell out for the team, it might be best to let Whitney go do what he wants to do and you do what you want to do.
Well, and he might, I'm not so sure if this has already happened or not, or will happen. He might ask to get cut. I know that we're talking $10 million here, but he's already made $51 million in his career. So maybe he can get a 2-year deal elsewhere with a contender now. At age 30, going to be 31.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you again. 11:45, 12:45,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
$1,000, another stimmy, however you want to look at it, a chance to win $1,000, so be listening then. Coming up, Jack Easterby. He was silent for a long time, but over the weekend, he dipped his toe in the water to see his approval rating, and he got bit by sharks. My goodness, you will not believe what happened, or you will next.
The Astros are playing baseball, Rockets in the playoffs.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Man, on the text line, 713-572-4610, my heart is being questioned because I would go Roger Dorn if I were Whitney Merciless, but look. Shout out to Andre 3000. I'm just being honest. I don't know what to tell you. If I were Whitney Merciless and I had $50 million in the bank, and then I was with an organization that had done what the Texans had done in 2 years, mm-hmm. and I was getting paid no matter what, and they were asking me to do something different, and I was playing a dangerous sport like this, and maybe wanted to pursue the ultimate goal of winning a championship ring, like J.J. Watt has gotten the opportunity to do, and like many who have left here have gotten the opportunity to do. I'm just being honest. That's what I'm doing.
I think it's one of those things that is a criticism, but it's an understandable criticism. I'm not questioning any of these guys, especially Whitney Merciless, his professionalism, his work ethic, et cetera. All I'm saying is it's human nature. It's like you look around and you're like, man, I've got a life to live here. I've been paid a lot of money. We are already 1-5 or 2-8 or whatever the number is when you start making these decisions. It's what happens.
Plus, did you see him play last year?
Plus, is he capable anymore? Now, all reports are from Clint and Sean that he looks the part. He's not as thick.
I saw him at the Houston Sports Awards.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. That's right. And he looks better in terms of he's not as thick as he was.
Is that good for someone that's going to be playing DN now in a
4-3? Well, but he's in better shape. And in the 4-3, you know, with that, you know, he might be asked to drop into coverage some and such. But, yeah, I think it is good. Yeah, I think it is.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you.
He used tackles a lot of times over the middle, but still.
What do you think Whitney Merciless thinks of Jack Easterby?
I think he's cautious but wary. Cautious but in, because he's on the good list, obviously, Whitney Merciless. He could have easily been a guy that kind of fell by the wayside. So, you know, I think he's cautious. I think everybody in that building is cautious and wary of Jack Easterby.
I think he loved that man.
Yeah, he's a very loyal.
He was there when he got it. I mean, yeah. Although it was Chris Olsen's last contract, which Chris Olsen resigned about a week and a half after it happened. And then all the contracts after that Easterby negotiated look similar when it comes to structure of Whitney Merciless. But Shoot, maybe he loves him. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Jack, over the weekend, man, you want to talk about dipping your toe in that water. A lot of times that's what you do before you jump into the shark-infested waters. I'm sure that people who scuba dive, you got to feel it out before you jump in.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what Jack Easterby has started to do. After about 2 months off of Twitter, Jack Easterby has decided to go back to Twitter at Jack Easterby.
Well, he decided briefly.
And he put out at 8:54 a.m. over the weekend something that he says quite often. It all matters. Everything matters. He said this 100 times last year when he was meeting with the media. It all matters was something
there
that I know he said.
There are signs now around the building that say it all matters.
It all matters is right in front of the locker room, as we saw on the HoustonTexans.com prediction. And that's what Jack Easterby tweeted out. And I got to tell you, man.
Then what happened?
If Jack Easterby was hoping that people had forgotten about the work that he had done as Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, I think he might be mistaken. Because as he dipped his toes in those shark-infested waters, the sharks swam to the top and they tried to bite old Jack right in the butt.
I like one of the first responses. First of all, he tweeted, it all caps on all, it all matters. And as you said, it was kind of a probe. You know, he knew that there were, you know, there were some skeptics in the waters, but he kind of probed into the water again to see if they were still there. They're still there. One of the first texts was my favorite one. You know, he said, it all matters. One of the first texts was, oh, you did it now, because everybody knew what the responses were going to be. And they were right.
Here's some of them. Here is Amy underscore Rouse. Correct. That's why I don't understand why you are still an employee of this franchise. Donnie, done with 2021, replied, the only thing that matters is when you get fired. Gross negligence. Hashtag fire Easterby. You don't matter. Leave Houston. You getting fired matters the most. Hashtag fire Easterby, hashtag cuck.
Leave Houston already was another reply.
Please leave Houston. You ruined it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, except for you, bleep you, and then a little gif of fire Easterby.
I don't wish evil things on people. But if I did, you would make the list, you toxic snake.
What matters is you leave H-Town, you false prophets.
How in the hell are you still employed?
Just leave already. You are a clown. You have run the Texans into the ground. Your leadership skills are a joke. Get a spine and take some accountability. Hashtag you are the joke of the NFL. Hashtag clown Cal McNair. Hashtag sell the team, Cal. Hashtag fire Easterby. Hashtag fire Easterby. Hashtag fire Easterby. Hashtag fire Easterby.
And then there was, the only thing that matters is we all caps, just like Easterby did, know you are a bleeping piece of bleep.
So while Easterby tried to dip his toe in the water, the sharks that are mad at Jack and Bill are still there. 713-572-4610. Wood, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
I am Jones, and I'm coming to bite his leg off, truly off. Jack Easterby, you have truly, you have ruined the Texan organization. You are horrible. You are pitiful. Approval rating? I'm going to give you an approval rating. You are going to bring the Texan organization down to one of the worst organizations in NFL history because of what you have accomplished here in Houston, Texas. They're going to have a 60-minute on ESPN, how did the Texan organization fall? And it's going to be because of the chaplain, Jack Easterby. This is a disgrace on what's going on down here. And unfortunately, Kyle and Janice need to really wake up and understand they need to get an NFL executive in here to truly take over before Jack Easterby do any more damage to this organization. Approval rating, get this man up out of here. There is no way we want him up in here.
Now, here's where it gets interesting, because this happens anytime Jack Easterby says or does anything, and that's why he's in hiding. And as much accessibility as the Texans have recently given to the entire organization, assistant coaches yesterday, and we have some things to share with that, they still have kept him under cloak, you know? But here's where it matters. As much as, you know, people say these things, they respond to his tweets like they do every time he tries to tweet something, they don't care for the most part, because he still has the confidence of Cal and Hannah McNair. But this is where it ties in with the Jerome Solomon column and so many people, you know, not renewing season tickets, and John McClain finally saying he doesn't think they're going to sell out games this year for the first time in the history of the organization. That's where it matters, because if they sent out a survey, and for all we know they have, but if they sent out a survey, you know, what do you approve of? What do you disapprove of with our organization? You know, one of those ticket surveys or whatever, I guarantee you, number one on the list would be Jack Easterby, even above, you know, Deshaun Watson leaving, because one led to the other. And so that, do they matter? Does it matter more that Easterby is now, in my opinion, and I think in most opinions, potentially costing them money?
Question I have is the slate wiped completely clean? Because you look at where the Texans are right now, and they haven't played a game, you know, without Deshaun Watson. So we don't know. We can't tangibly say what's going to happen. We can assume, we can predict, we can look at projections, we can look at the quality of the roster, compare it to others, and we can assume. But if they go out there and it looks like an absolute disaster, does that come back into the front of mind when it comes to Cal McNair? Or is he just completely wiped the slate clean and you're not even going to take into account that Jack Easterby had a hand in getting you in this situation? Or if season tickets decline and people are moving up the waiting list like crazy, then does Cal McNair all of a sudden realize, okay, we got to let this guy go? Does Nick Caserio look at it and say, man, like, I get that this is the card I've been dealt.
Yeah.
But I live in this city. People clearly don't like you. And the reality is, whether we're buddies or not, you've made my job much more difficult than it should have been. You pissed off the quarterback. You depleted the roster. You handed out bad contracts. And quite honestly, the consumers, the customers, they don't like you. And your value is not significant enough to where I get this. So has the slate been completely wiped clean? Or is Cal McNair, could something happen to where Cal McNair and or Nick Caserio see the light and say, man, thank you very much, Jack, we just got to move on?
First of all, the slate has not been wiped clean in the opinion of the people who matter most, and that's your customers. You know, there's no way that it has been wiped clean as long as Jack Easterby is still here. Now the Texans may be saying that, but in his heart of hearts, in their heart of hearts, Cal McNair and Hannah McNair, they've always known that Jack Easterby is unpopular and probably at the core of the biggest frustration that fans have with this team. They've always known it. It's impossible not to know it. If you read, if you listen, if you watch TV, you know where the frustration lies with this organization, and it's that dude. It's Jack Easterby. You know it. They know it. But they've ignored it, or they've believed him, you know, whenever he, you know, kind of cultivates the relationship he has with him, or convinces them that it's all going to be all right or whatever. What I'm saying is it could change because the bottom dollar could change. And that's when maybe they go, you know what? It's just not worth it.
Yeah, I just wish there was some sort of like proactive approach with Cal McNair, if that's the case, because I think you could have sensed it, and we did sense it, that Bill O'Brien was screwing things up badly. Yeah. The trades he was making, the contracts, all that. Like, you knew it even heading into last season, despite the fact you had the Kansas City Chiefs down 24-0, one game away from hosting the AFC Championship. It was very clear this thing was being run into the ground quickly, and I could see it. You could see it. I just don't know. I don't know if Cal McNair is capable of being proactive. Quite honestly, if you look at the job Cal McNair has done since rest in peace Bob passed away, it's been awful. It's been awful. If you just look at the mood of the fan base during Bob's final days, when you got your quarterback in Deshaun Watson, I just remember the Titans game in 2017 when they just completely they hung half a hundo on the Titans, and you were just walking out of that stadium. People were high-fiving, people were smiling, people were happy, people were enjoying themselves, and you walk in there now, even you know, last year, even before that, when they faced the Chiefs. The mindset has changed. The season ticket list speaks for itself. The talent on the roster is there. If you just look, like we talk about this 180 and right. We talk about Jack and Bill, Cal as owner, man, I mean, it's been a rough start for him.
Rough. Very rough start. Nothing has gone according to plan. If Cal were sitting in the studio right now, I would ask him if he were familiar with the old saying, there's never a revolution until the people go hungry. In the history of the world, that's an old saying. There's never a real revolution until the people go hungry. You know, because that's when they start really affecting the people in charge. You know, they can complain. They can talk about the government or their bosses or whatever. But until they are truly hungry for change and start affecting, you know, you directly, there's never a revolution. So what I'm saying is Texan season ticket holders are showing you that they're hungry. They're hungry for change. And so will that absolutely finally resonate?
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. On the text line, 3767. Y'all are Jam Brady and Easterby is Marsha. Easterby. Obsessed much. Buddy, you just compared Jack Easterby to the most popular, beautiful girl in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, bud. Marsha was like the most popular perfect girl in high school. That is a burn gone wrong.
And who is...
He damn sure ain't Marsha.
Who is y'all? Every Texan
he's
fan?
Oliver. If anything, he's Oliver. Cousin Oliver.
Cousin Oliver. I mean, who is... God, I love this song. It just makes you happy.
Makes me think about college funds and stuff, and I'm not even a parent.
And who is y'all? Because if you were listening to the show yesterday... We had hundreds of people texting and calling about how this was the problem and they were out because of Easterby. So if you're saying y'all, I think you're meaning most every Texans fan.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. There is some good news, though, on Kirby. The V word appears to be dead, and John Lopez is very happy about that. We'll talk about it next.
Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
That's funny right there. I laugh at that all the time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.